And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey folks, welcome into On to Waveland, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Brett Taylor, joined by Sahadev Sharma. You know, we don't have Mooney for this one, but Sahadev's joining us directly from the Wrigley Field press box. So it is as if we are, you know, just like a huge mass of media personalities here in the podcast, and you will probably hear them in the background as they, you know, poke at Sahadev and try to what's the audio version of video bombing? Like audio bombing? Is anybody going to jump on your mic real quick?
Well, I mean, I'm in a booth that I've never, like, I don't really know who's in here during the game. So who knows when someone shows up and kicks me out in the middle of the podcast and just says, you're not supposed to be in here, please leave.
Pat Hughes walks in. What are you doing in here?
His sweater is not hanging up on the wall here, so I don't think he belongs in here.
This ejection of Sahadev is brought to you by Gold Coast Bank. All right, so the Cubs are fixing to face the Reds this weekend. We are recording shortly before the first game of the series, assuming it happens, weather permitting. So you fine folks are probably listening to this after that game, in which the Cubs presumably continued along their very winning ways. So they've just swept the Pirates, and that puts them, we were just talking about it, 15-6 over their last 21?
That sounds right.
And it hasn't, you know, what's interesting is we talked at the outset of this stretch, you know, right around the time when they had swept the Dodgers in that three-game series, when it was like sort of a joke that they could possibly do that, and then they did. And we saw this chunk of the season looming when it was like, there's a lot of winnable games right now, and if they're going to keep themselves in the conversation, they're going to have to do a whole lot of winning in May. And here we are for the last series of May, and they've done exactly that.
Yeah, and I'm doing exactly what you know. I have to keep reminding myself that it was an easy stretch of play, so we got to be careful not to read too much into it, but also to not, you know, dismiss it altogether. They're playing better baseball. They look like a better team. They're doing it. You have to remember, good teams beat the bad teams, right? Like, that's what they're supposed to do. The biggest frustration for fans, beyond just the poor play early on, was that they were winnable games against what everyone expected to be, you know, average to below average teams coming into the season. So those first 3 weeks, it was like, wow, they're losing to teams that, you know, nobody expects to be, like, you know, world beaters. Obviously, the real test is about to come after this Red series. It's a very daunting schedule, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they do. But this is a completely different team, and it's been much more fun to cover, and I'm sure for fans, been much more fun to watch. It's a different team right now. It's not like the hot streaks that we've seen in the past few years, in my opinion. But we'll see how sustainable it is and how realistic it is that they can keep playing at this pace.
Well, and get this: the last time we were talking about how things looked different and the team looked more competitive, and you know, a switch had been flipped, a lot of that was predicated on the offense becoming a little more consistent, a little more contact oriented. And like, the two guys we were calling out at that time were Matt Duffy and Jake Marisnyk, not necessarily for like carrying the load, but for the way they sort of changed the dynamic, right? Well, they've been injured and out for a long time. And so as much as we do correctly acknowledge this has been a softer stretch in the schedule, if you're going to be competitive, you got to beat up on the bad teams. It's also true that the Cubs have hardly been even close to full strength during this. I mean, Anthony Rizzo's been in and out. Obviously, Duffy's been on the IL. Jason Hayward's been on the IL. Jake Marisnyk, Nico Horner, several relievers. And so really the only aspect of the team that's been unmarred by injury so far is the starting rotation. And as we know, the starting rotation has been kind of the area that we've been concerned about. So that too is impressive that even as the Cubs are now relying on guys like Patrick Wisdom and Rafael Ortega and just filling and patching where they can, they still managed, for example, to sweep that Pirates series. And I mean, definitely big credit for that, that there's no sense of like, oh, people were doubting us anyway, and now we don't even have full strength. And so, okay. Like, you just don't see a lot of yield.
Yeah, no, I even in spring training, I remember I kind of liked the depth, and it, I can't remember who, there was another infielder, who am I blanking on? Because we weren't like big on Duffy, you know, it's not like we were, hey, this Matt Duffy signing, I think is going to surprise some people. No, nobody was really on that, but it
was,
you know,
Vargas was getting more attention as like the extra depth guy. He's gone now, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, Duffy has stepped up. Mariznick stepped up. And they, I mean, like, Patrick Wisdom had a big game the other day, and we barely talked about it. I mean, there's a reason we didn't talk about it. But I mean, those are the types of things you need, right, when you have injuries. I don't know how long it'll last. The good thing about the injuries are none of them are, like, the devastating type where it's, like, multiple months. You know, Nico, we just talked to him in pregame, and it sounds like they dodged you know, the worst case scenario there. He said, you know, if you saw me, if you looked at me and saw that it immediately took away, like, this is a guy like writhing in pain, it was more I knew I was going to miss some time and I was frustrated. It wasn't this is a worst case scenario hamstring injury. It was, man, this is definitely going to put me on the IL and I'm pissed about it type
Dude,
situation.
You're revealing this right now, like as we're recording. Like, you haven't written any of this up yet, have you?
No.
Okay. So this is like me first hearing this and I'm like trying to stifle my excitement as you're saying, as you're explaining that. Cause like I very much was someone who's watching and I was like, oh shit, he's a tough dude. Yeah. And if he's looking like that, that is, you know, for real. And then the first signal, we can just talk about Horner for a minute. When David Ross said, and he said this about Jake Marisnik's hammy also, mild to moderate. Now, historically, those are like clinical terms. Mild is grade one, moderate grade two, severe grade three. And I couldn't get a sense for whether that's just how Ross speaks about hammies. He's like, you know, it's not awful, but it's definitely strained, and he calls that mild to moderate, or if it's legit mild to moderate, because then it's like, oh, this might not be a 2 month thing, which I was assuming 2 months minimum as I was watching him on the ground.
I think I read you write that. I think that was you that wrote it, maybe not Michael. And I read that, and I, like, my sense was that he was relaying what he'd heard. That was the sense I got. I didn't confirm that, but, that, along with what Nico said, along with what Jed told some of the traveling reporters, I've gotten the sense that this is more Jake Mariznick timeline than worst case scenario timeline. I think they missed out on that, luckily. Obviously, a bad time to miss a month about, which is probably my guess. That's about what Mariznick is going to miss, right? I my sense is Mariznick is coming back soon. How many weeks is that then?
He's at about 3.5 right now.
Okay. So I would put it at, like, as long as there's no setbacks, as long as nothing happens, I think that's the timeline we're looking at for him. A similar timeline for Steele, although I don't really know how the difference between a pitcher and a position player, how that may turn out. Maybe he can come back a little bit sooner. I think they've missed, you know, I think they've gotten a little bit lucky here. We're talking about, go look at the Mets, right? I think McNeil, and there's one other big player that has a hamstring on them that's missing like 2+ months.
Conforto.
I was like, which
you.
One? Like Nimmo's out and JD Davis
players.
Is out. Alonso's out.
They have so many players, and so I guess the Cubs can't whine about that, so to say. You know, and they're not.
Well,
they're certainly not.
Can I inject? Sure. Because initially, I'd had that same thought as the Cubs were having all these injuries. I was like, well. Look, the Mets, like, entire starting lineup is out, so you can't complain. However, I saw, like, the metrics on how much teams are missing right now. And yes, the Mets are on an island by themselves, but the Cubs are right there next. Like, the Cubs are actually quite banged up.
Are they? Well, I know they're like top five. Last I looked, Baseball Prospectus has that great little thing now. Uh-oh. Is someone want me out? I may need to get out. Yeah. Like I said.
I thought maybe he was just saying hi to us. So we're totally going to leave this in. I'll narrate what's happening right now. So, you know, like I said at the top, Sahadev is recording in a booth at Wrigley. And as we're talking, in the window behind him, someone appears and is sort of waving. And I thought it was just somebody sort of like saying, hey. But no, it was someone being like, hey, you, get out of my booth. So Sahadev is being ejected right now. This is awesome. At least he muted himself, so we can't hear that he's like, oh, I'm in trouble.
This is excellent. This is some just great theater. We're getting a little behind-the-scenes tour of the press box.
Seriously, this is our producer, Michael, who's hopping on now. Yeah. Sahad is chuckling. He's bemused.
All right. I've been told I'm allowed to stay in here. He just didn't know what was going on.
Let me plug back in.
Oh, nice. We don't lose power here. We can wrap up. I mean, not wrap up, but we can do the podcast as long as I'm not here come game time.
What do you think he thought you were doing in there, Sahadev?
Who knows? Who knows what he thought?
Just like a little
something nefarious.
Just a little private
Zoom
chat.
Terrible reputation I have in here. No, I don't know. Who knows what he thought? But he was nice enough to say, if you want to stay in there, I can go sit in the press box. So
anyway, we wrapped kind of there on the Cubs being very banged up. And you know, as it occurred to me, as these two topics coalesce, the tough schedule ahead and all these injuries, you know, the Cubs are going to be without Nico Hoerner for basically this whole stretch. We don't know if Jason Hayward will be back or if he will be improved. We don't have to get into it, but his start to the season has kind of escaped a lot of direct discussion, I think, because there was other things happening. But for a guy who was one of the two best hitters on the team last year, he really was coming out to a slow start. And so certainly you wouldn't bet on a hamstring injury turning a guy's season around, but sometimes that ability to reset away can do a little something.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this has always been Jason Hayward, but the extremes have been clearer in Chicago, where he's a very streaky offensive player, and when he gets in a zone, like, he gets on tears. And he gets, you know, like, his timing, we've talked about this before, but his timing, his swing is so unorthodox, I guess, that the timing is so essential. Like, if it's slightly off, that's when you see all those 4-3s and just the frustration that fans have, especially early on in his career with the Cubs. He never really got on those hot streaks, and we don't need to dive into why, but there was a lot going on there with his swing, and he finally started to get it, I want to say, in like 18 or 19, and we would start to see those hot streaks, and obviously 20 was pretty much an entire hot streak for him. I think he was about to get on one. It looked like it. He was starting to swing it better. He was hitting the ball harder and finally on a line instead of on the ground. And when he goes oppo with the ball, that's when you know his timing is right, because he's different than today's offensive players who like to get the ball out in front. He likes the ball. His swing is geared to the ball, like getting deeper in the zone. So when he's going opposite field on a line, it's like, okay, his timing's there. He's going to start going on a little bit of a run as long as he stays healthy. So while, yeah, maybe it helps to kind of reset and he can stay on time, this is exactly what's derailed him in the past. Like 18 or 19, there were times where it's like, Jason Hayward's getting hot, and then he's going to miss 2 weeks with this, or he got that. I think there was a concussion once. I think there was I can't remember all the injuries, but, you know, there's been little things, and it threw him off his rhythm, and he came back, and he couldn't find that same streak he was on, and hopefully that's not the case. And hopefully this is the reset that he needs. But yeah, that's it. You know, the Cubs need as many bats as they can get, because I don't know how much you can count on Patrick Wisdom and Rafael Ortega really being consistent. Not to rip them in any way, but a tremendous job finding depth, quality depth this offseason, but you need your best players in the lineup more regularly, especially at the stretch they're about to go into.
Yeah, and you wonder, too, when Hayward is ready to come back. It's not hard to imagine that Mariznick is ready to come back at the same time, and now Ian Happ is already back. Jock Peterson is already back. There were times when both of them were out that afforded the ability for the Cubs to play both Matt Duffy and Jake Mariznick regularly, even when Hayward was healthy. And that, then it's like, oh, when they all come back, and you're, for example, if you're wanting to put Duffy at third, so Chris Bryant has to play in the outfield, that clips out a spot right there. And then you've got Jock, who's hot as anybody in baseball, and Ian Happ is really turning things around, and Mariznick is back. You start to wonder what that playing time share is going to be like. And, you know, we don't have to go down that road right now because these guys will come back over time. But it's been interesting that until now, when you have so many guys out at the same time, until now, it was like everybody coordinated nicely because it was like one dude was hurt at a time.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, so one thing we have to touch on, I say have to, it's more like we get to, because that's what life is like when you cover Javi Baez. It's like, look at the delight that we get to bask in. And of course, if you haven't seen it, which, is it possible at this point?
I don't know how you missed it. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen that play, I don't know. Like, are you not online enough? I mean, I guess, or you just had a really busy day at work, or the kids are on your butt, or what? But if you missed that play, you missed one of the most incredible things I've ever witnessed. Like, So I'm not sure if people notice this, but when I'm kind of off, if Patrick's on, I don't tweet about the game. I just kind of try and stay offline. I do keep tabs on what's going on. Often I'll sit and watch the game at home, even if I'm not writing or on, so to say. But I avoid Twitter. But that play, which if you haven't seen it, Brett, do you want to describe what happened?
I would love to. My entire career has been building to having the privilege to describe a play like that. So two outs. You got Wilson Contreras on second. You got Javi Baez up. And, you know, There's a part I've watched the play, like, I'm not even kidding, like 50 times, because I just enjoy it so much.
It's such a fun time to watch.
One thing that I find that nobody has really commented on is that, so it was an 0-2 pitch, right? And it was 0-2, like, up at his shoulders. Javi swings at that pitch, let alone pulls that pitch and pulls it hard. No discussion of that part. That's just kind of, he happens to pull it right at the third baseman, who gives one of those sort of ole plays and kind of tosses it over to first. Javi's beat by 30 steps. But the throw pulls the first baseman, Will Craig, up the line a little bit. So he's waiting for Javi to just arrive so he can tag him, as any runner would. And Javi doesn't. He just sort of kind of teases back a little bit. And then he prances back a little bit more. And what was so artful about what Baez was doing is he never gave Craig or anyone else watching, including the entire rest of the Pirates roster, a moment to realize, wait, I don't need to be chasing this guy.
Yeah.
You know, Javi was the rabbit at the Greyhound track, you know, that goes around the middle that they're chasing. Like, if the dogs would just stop and think for a second, it's like, wait, what am I doing? Why am I chasing it? I don't need to do this. That was Will Craig. He did not have the opportunity at any moment to be like, wait a minute. If I literally just walk backwards and touch first base. This inning is over. No run is scoring. And it's all just like a funny little thing that, you know, people listening to this wouldn't have seen. But instead, he chases Javi all the way back to the plate, and like one step short of the plate, he decides, unbelievably, to toss the ball to the catcher, because Wilson Contreras, very heads up, just kept running, and he slides into the plate, and the catcher also just has the total Javi-induced brain fart instead of being like, wait a minute, man, thanks for throwing me the ball, but like, just take it back to first base. Just, I don't need this. You take it, walk it back to first, play over. So the catcher tries to tag Contreras out. It's close play. He's safe. Javi stands there waving safe because Javi, see, he's so magical. He did it to himself even a little bit. He's like, holy shit, he's safe. Oh, wait, I need to get to first base or none of this counts.
And you can see it. You can see him like do the safe and then kind of like tense up and like, oops, I got to go run. And he turns around and like runs his butt off. Oh, my God. It was so fun. It was,
And then but two Pirates infielders simply could not catch the ball in order to either complete the play at first or tag him out at second. If either of those are caught, he gets out. But Javi just has that's the effect that he has.
Yeah, it was just one of those. So Boob Shambi was in the press box earlier today, and I texted him after the game and just said, I know you guys are not at the ballpark, but that was an awesome call. Still, you guys were able to do a great job with it. And then we talked about it again. And just like if you go, I'm sure people have watched it 100 times. If you watch it again, just remember they're watching what we're watching. So they don't see the whole play. It would have been a different call if they were there. I almost think it may have been more fun to listen to both of them, like, because you see Wilson like all of a sudden show up out of nowhere in the screen. And Boog's like, oh, my God, what is going on, like, type thing. And their reaction is just so natural and pure. I loved it. And JD was great. He was just, like, totally into it. And he's like, he's invisible. I'll keep going. Well, I loved that.
When Javi got to second base after all the shenanigans, ball gets away, JD was all of us. All of us were like, just keep going. Just keep going. And then the camera panned because I think that was the same feed that they got, and it showed, oh, wait, the third baseman's right there with the ball. Who cares? He's invisible. But just go.
And it was just so fun. And I, like, live watching it, I'm sure you were reacting crazily. I was just like, but what is that? Why isn't he just go to first? Touch. Why is this guy not going to first? And then, I was like, how is this happening? Why is this happening? Like, it was just, you don't have that type of fun moment just watching a game anymore. I don't know. It's just, I shouldn't say you don't have that type of moment anymore. It has nothing to do with the way the game is played nowadays or anything. I'm just saying, like, those types of moments never happen where you're just, like, dumbfounded by what just happened on the field. They rarely happen. And then how that happened, running back, like, I love how people are sending out stills of, like, you know, try and explain this moment, right, where they're all at home. Wilson's sliding into the plate. The catcher is trying to tag him. Javi's there too. And so is the first. Like, there are four people at home on ground ball to third. It's just wild, just fun. I know people want to say, like, it was just purely a dumb play by the Pirates. I get that. I get that aspect. It was. It was a huge brain fart. But also, imagine you're on the field and you know Javi Baez is known for doing wild things on the field, and you start to approach him with the ball, and then he starts going back, and it's like you just forget everything, like, because of his, I'm not saying it's purely him, it's also on Will Craig and all his teammates for not just screaming go touch first, but Javi deserves some credit there for the reputation that he has of, like, it's Javi Baez. I got to do something here. You just forget everything about baseball, the most basic things about baseball, the things that I've literally talked to my son about this in Little League stuff. Like, this is Little League. No. Don't throw that ball home. Go touch the bag. You had the out at first. Like, the inning was over if you would have just done that. And it's just remarkable. It was so fun to watch. So fun. Still, it's so fun to watch. It's just anyone that's downplaying it or saying it's just purely stupidity that led to that, I mean, stop ruining the enjoyment of the game. Like, that was a fun moment. Not fun for Pirates fans. Not fun for Will Craig. I feel awful for that guy. I'm sure he feels terrible. But it was just really entertaining to watch. And Javi can do that. I know it's not purely on him, but when he's out on the field, especially running the bases, it puts an extra thought in a defender's mind. Like, I got to deal with this guy. And it worked out there. It'll never happen again. I don't think you'll ever see anything close to that again. And it shouldn't have happened, but it's still so glad we got to watch it. It was so fun. It's just, it brings out the joy and kid in all of us, I think, watching that. And all the different broadcasts, I've watched all of them on Twitter. People are putting them out there. I think the Pirates, one of the Pirates broadcasts was like talking to the bench coach at the time, I believe. And the bench coach is like, you hear him like muttering, like, I don't think I've ever seen this. like kind of in the background. And like the play-by-play guy's like chuckling. He's like, look at this. He's like, oh, I don't think this is. He's like, well, maybe this isn't very funny. And then that's when the madness happened. That's when you see Wilson come in. And, oh, God, just so much fun. Just a brilliant,
oh,
brilliant
and,
moment.
And shouts to the cameras for catching the Cubs bench with just the two appropriate reactions, which was Justin Steele standing up on the rail, clapping in pure awe, like, I cannot believe this is amazing. And then Anthony Rizzo next to him, absolutely losing his mind, cracking up, because he knows. He's seen this. He hasn't seen this specifically, but he's seen Javi for years, and he's just laughing because it's like, who else? You know, there's a reason that Javi has had the El Mago nickname for 4 years before this. It's because, he's doing something this time that is like maybe next tier extreme that you've never seen or that shouldn't be possible or that... He is that guy, which is why it's like to say that this was predominantly about a big leaguer making a little league mistake. Maybe. And maybe it's just a coincidence that it happened with the one base runner who is known as being the most ridiculous, absurd, magical base runner in baseball. Yeah, just a coincidence that it happened. No, I'm going to wager a guess. This does not happen with any other base runner running to first base. So, you know, Cubs are clearly going to extend Javi Baez shortly because, you know, you can't let that go. You can't let a guy go who can pull runs out of a hat quite like that. I think it was a nice reminder, though, you know, because Javi has also had a really good May. You know, he was struggling deeply in April, like a lot of the hitters were. And he, although... he's been doing it in an extreme version of Javi's unique way of he just gets the bat on the ball so many times. He's got a huge BABIP because he creates these weird contact angles. He runs well. He's not going to walk. He's going to strike out a crap load, and he's going to hit for a lot of power. And the end result has been a solidly above average hitter. And defensively, it's been a weird one. He had that play yesterday too, the throwing error, which it was just like, oh, Javi, why are you throwing that? And he put a couple other ones in the dirt, too. I think his throwing is just off a little bit right now. But at the same time, he does that play, and you're just reminded, not only does he create extra baseball extra baseball value in ways that are harder to quantify, he also creates... He also creates the kind of value that I guarantee 29 other fan bases would love to be able to participate in, because we can't forget that baseball, it's about wins and losses, but we care about wins and losses because wins are fun and losses are not fun. So when you get to watch fun stuff, that's still the point. You know, being entertained is still the point. And so in that way, it's like, how could you ever let Javi go? You know, if you lucked into having this guy as part of your team, how could you ever let him go?
Yeah, I mean, those first 3 weeks, 2020, and those first 3 weeks of this season, I think just put him in the rearview mirror and remember who this guy is and how much fun he is, how much value he brings, and how sometimes that value is immeasurable, right? Like I've always said with him, he's one of the guys where I don't try and understand why he's good anymore. The strikeout rate may be high, the walk rate may be low, the BABIP may be high, and all these things that you'd look at and say, yeah, this guy on a normal player, like this guy, it's not sustainable. Well, I don't care. I don't care if the numbers say one thing. Sometimes there are players that kind of transcend the numbers, and there's just something about them that makes them good to great players, right? It happens every once in a while. I think he's one of those guys. He proves those numbers, those peripheral numbers that a lot of people like you and I like to lean on. He shows us that this isn't the be all end all. Like, there's something to appreciate about baseball that is really sometimes hard to understand unless you just watch it every day and you're like, yeah, there's something special about this guy. Just ride it and enjoy it and keep it around if you can.
Well, we'll wrap it there. Like I said, Cubs, Reds this weekend, and then Padres, Giants, Padres, Cardinals, Mets. It's a real tough stretch.
Just coming. Brutal.
And obviously, it feels like it means it's all the more important this weekend to take 2 of 3 from the Reds, particularly at home. And, you know, Cubs will try to do it banged up. So we'll see how that plays out. We will be back at you on Tuesday to talk about it. And we thank you kindly for listening, as always, to On to Waveland. I am Brett Taylor. You can catch my stuff at Bleacher Nation. That's Sahadev Sharma. Get his at The Athletic. Mooney's is also at The Athletic, wherever he is. I think he's having some family fun, we'll say, this weekend. So good on him. Enjoy that time, Gallagher. And we will see him and the rest of you back next week. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. We love you.
Email us, too.
Oh, gosh, see, that's why he's the producer. That was Michael jumping in, because he knows. He's like, Brett's going to forget. He's doing his wrap-up. Brett's going to forget. So he was primed and ready. Yeah, so got to say, congrats, by the way, to our producer, Michael, who became a papa recently. So he was out doing some child-rearing. And in that process, the email, remember we were doing emails? That kind of took a little side seat. So we're going to get back to that because we did really enjoy that. You guys sent some fantastic emails, and we'd love to hear from you, whether it's a comment, whether it's a question, whether it's Cubs related, whether it's you know, just about the podcast, whatever. Get into it. We'd love to hear from you. So that email address is wavelandathletic@gmail.com. Okay, wavelandathletic@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. And if it's really good, we'll read it. If it's really bad, we'll read it. So really, you've just got to hit one of those extremes. So thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.